Hell, I did it again. I forgot about the holy smoke. Sorry, Alex. Before we get started, I'm going to be referencing Rediscover the Saints during this homily. So if you don't have a copy and you would like a copy, please raise your hands and the ushers will deliver you a copy. So is there anyone who needs one? Looks like we're good. Oh, we have one up front and another one right in front, so we need two. So if you could raise your hands back up again so they could... Oh, another one back by the post. And then we have a fourth. Oh, we have more back here. So we're starting to get a little brave. We'll talk about fear here in a little bit too. So thank you for laying aside your fears. Thank you, ushers. Jesus rises out of the waters of the Jordan River. The Spirit of God descends like a dove. The voice of God the Father booms from the heavens. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The very first small community, that small community of persons, the Holy Trinity, reveals its presence during the baptism of our Lord and Savior. And notice, Jesus' mission begins with a sacrament, the sacrament of baptism. The mission of the promised salvation is christened with grace at its genesis. Then after Jesus is baptized, he disappears, figuratively. He goes off into the desert where he fasts and prays and wrestles with the temptation to desert his mission. You have to think the grace of baptism sustained him. Almost immediately after those 40 days in the desert, Jesus begins his ministry, and the first thing he does is he selects a small church community, the community of the 12 apostles. By the power of the Holy Spirit and through the small church group of the apostles, the waters of baptism gave life and continue to give life to the church. The sacrament of baptism is a perfect example of a need for small church groups in every community, and especially in our community. And notice the persons that are required for the sacrament to occur. You have the baptized, the parents and the godparents or the sponsors. A small church community begins right at the beginning of a person's journey of faith. That is a small church community. Baptized, parents, godparents, and sponsors. In the very beginning, the newly baptized is supported by a small group, a group that is responsible to help nurture and guide the faith of the newly baptized until that person receives the sacrament of confirmation. And notice during every baptism, we renew our baptismal promises by saying, "We do believe" in each statement of our creed. Every time we recite our creed, whether the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, we state we believe in the communion of the saints. We need and we want the active involvement of the community of saints in our very lives, in the lives of our everyday. And now I hope you understand why our pastoral team chose to form small church groups by studying Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover the Saints. As a large community of faith, this weekend, we begin a new journey. And we begin it with a study in the formation of small church groups. And I found it rather interesting that this book begins with a very interesting perspective of the life of a person who seems to be an unlikely saint. We recognize this unlikely character as the story begins to describe an event associated with the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus hangs from the cross. At each side of Jesus hangs a criminal, a desperate sinner. There are men justly condemned to pay for their crimes. One, named Justus, he taunts and he mocks Jesus. And he demands Jesus save him if he is indeed the Messiah. the other named Dismas. He defends Jesus from Justice's ridicule, and Dismas then prays to Jesus for mercy. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You see, at that point, Dismas expresses the desire of every Christian to have life in Jesus forever. Isn't that what you want? Turn to page 8 in your text. I'll give you a moment to do that. The criminal crucified to the right of Jesus tells us on page 8, "Today I hear people calling me Saint Dismas. They say every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. If I could lean in close to you and whisper something in your ear, it would be this. If there are pieces of your past that are weighing you down, it's time to leave those behind. You are not what happened to you. You are someone imaginably greater than you have ever considered. And maybe it's time to consider all the possibilities that are within you." My dear friends, have you ever stopped to consider the possibilities within you? It's not too late. Wasn't too late for Dismas. Realization of the amazing possibilities dormant within us only happen when we collaborate with the one who sowed those possibilities within us while we were knitted together in our mother's wombs. Now turn to page 9 and read what Matthew Kelly has to share. When we have the courage to collaborate with God and pursue our truest self, He lights a fire within us that is so bright and warm it keeps shining long after the days on this earth come to end. The lives of the saints have captivated people of every age for this very reason. And then Kelly asks two questions for us to answer, and we need to answer them at this very moment. Are you satisfied with the direction the world is moving in? What's your answer? Are you satisfied with your life? What's your answer? Here's the beauty of those questions. I'm exceedingly confident every saint answered the question the same as you have. Each and every saint eventually made a conscious decision to collaborate with God and change. And change they did. And most, if not all, changed in ways that could never have been imagined in their earlier lives. And all you'll have to do is turn to chapter 1 and read about St. Augustine, that lousy, rotten scoundrel. And as they changed their world. And that lousy, rotten scoundrel, he's changed my world. St. Augustine's inspired me on several occasions. They are real and true evidence each of us have created to make a difference and to make precious differences. And what is the first challenge we have to overcome? And what's the first challenge each and every saint had to overcome? It's a four-letter word. It's a nasty, rotten word. F-E-A-R. Fear. The Bible tells us 365 times, Jesus instructs us in each and every gospel, do not be afraid. And Matthew Kelly tells us on page 12, and you can turn there right now, and he says, do not be afraid of the possibilities. We underestimate ourselves, but God never does. Allow God to raise up the saint in you. You or what your corner of the world needs right now. You are where God invited you to be at this very moment. You're not here of your own volition. And you said yes to that invitation. And why did God invite you? He invited you to be in this place at this time to read and hear what you've just heard and read. You answered His invitation and you made yourself available and present. And He blesses you now. And He will do so each and every time you make yourself available to Him and collaborate with Him. Will you collaborate with Him and bless Him and change your world? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. What does your future hold? Well, it's time to discover the possibilities. And in collaboration with God, make those real. Another four-letter word, R-E-A-L, to conquer F-E-A-R. If you've read chapter 1 already, reread it. If you haven't read it, read chapter 1, rediscover the saints, and discover you have a future. A future when one day you will hear, "This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter with whom I am well pleased." And won't that be a marvelous day? Please turn to page 15 and pray with me. Loving Father, help us to know deep in our hearts that You are ready to remove today whatever obstacles we have placed between ourselves and You in the past. Open our hearts, minds, and souls to see the future You have imagined for us, and give us the courage to embrace Your plans, even when we feel inadequate and insecure. Amen. The Lord gives, and the Lord gives, and the Lord gives. Blessed be the Lord. And the church says,